Welcome to another episode of Square Talk, and today we are taking a look at recruitment and membership. And to help us guide us with their expertise and experience, we have Dale Page and Mark Thompson O'Connor with us. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Evening, Richard.
Good evening, chaps. Now, first of all, can you introduce yourselves, you know, give a bit about your Masonic background to the listeners?
Okay, well, I'll open the bat in. My name's Worshipful Brother Dale Page. I was initiated into Reynard Lodge, number 9,285, in the borough of Syston. I'm also a member of the Derek Buswell Lodge of Provincial Grand Stewards, and in addition, a member of the Leicester Midland Lodge of Installed Masters. And I was invested as Provincial Grand Mentor last November, succeeding our now Provincial Grand Secretary, Worshipful Brother Paul Wallace.
Okay, I'm Mark Thompson O'Connor. I'm originally an East Lancashire Mason. I was initiated into a lodge called Wilton Lodge, 1077, back in April 1992, raised a year later in November 93, and exalted into Wilton Chapter, also in East Lancs, in 95. I went through the chair in Wilton in 99, and then work moved me and my family down to Rutland in the same year, which is and the following year in 2000, I joined Uppingham in Rutland Lodge, which is 9119. And I went through the chair again there in 2012. I'm also a member of the Leicestershire and Rutland Lodge of Installed Masters. I joined Uppingham and Rutland Chapter and was the first principal in 2014, and then again in 2018. My current provincial rank is past provincial Grand Sword Bearer, and I've held active provincial rank in the Royal Arch. I currently hold active provincial and district rank in the Mark in Royal and Select Masters and the Order of the Secret Monitor. And I'm also a member of the Red Cross, the Operatives and Scarlet Cord.
Crikey, well, I think our time's up now, so thanks. I've got to say, Dale, I've known you for a long time. That's the first time you've never taken the opportunity to talk about the festival and your role as festival chairman.
Well, you have to wear the right hat to the right for the right interview, Richard.
Okay. So first, Mark, now you've recently been given the challenge of taking over as provincial membership officer. And for those that don't know, what does that role entail?
Okay. Well, I started in post as such around the end of July this year, although not officially to be invested by the PGM until November, of course. In the first instance, I suppose I'm the initial point of contact for potential candidates who want to express an interest in Freemasonry or have expressed an interest in Freemasonry through the United Grand Lodge website or the provincial website. What I'll do is I'll make contact with them, discuss their interests further. The idea behind me contacting them is to ensure that they understand things like the minimum requirements, but also to discuss their reasons for wanting to join, to point out the requirement for commitment and minimum attendance, and to answer any initial questions that they might have. I also see the role developing, though, to work closely with Dale as provincial mentor, because the provincial membership officer role must necessarily also relate to retention. Wherever possible, I'd like to maintain contact with those prospective candidates who join us as well, and encourage them to enjoy and engage in their Freemasonry. I'd also see the role as assisting, insofar as I can, the lodge membership officer. And already, whilst I've only been in post as such since the end of July, I've already been in contact with some quite promising prospects and passed details over to lodge secretaries. The lodge secretary, that is, I would be contacting in the sort of initial stages, and I would encourage also lodge secretaries to make contact with me to discuss their own lodge needs in relation to recruitment if they felt that was appropriate. Other than that, I don't know yet because it's only just started.
I'm sure you will take the role on to its fullest very soon as well, particularly after November when everybody gets invested, hopefully. Yes. You mentioned the provincial grand mentor, Dale. So what are the differences, or more importantly, I guess, what's the overlap between the role of membership officer and mentor?
So clearly, as Mark's alluded to, Mark and I work closely, and there is, as Mark quite rightly says, some overlap within our roles. However, my primary function, if you like, is to coordinate the mentoring and recruitment at individual lodge level, at private lodge level, and to promote and encourage the implementation of our members' pathway. Our members will be aware that the members' pathway is essentially a recruitment guide. Mark mentioned individual lodge membership officers, which is a critical role, and one that will become even more critical going forward and even more recognised going forward. And also working with individual care teams. And whilst Mark handles the sort of direct inquiries to the province and other recruitment, specific recruitment campaigns, my role is more of a direct contact with the lodges to ensure that they adhere to the initiatives that we put in place from provincial level.
I'm going to put a huge question to you now, and no apologies for doing so, because it's really relevant for the conversation that we're having. What challenges do you see facing Freemasonry today as we look to plan to return to LOD?
As you right say, that is a huge question. How long have you got? Communication has been key. And you, more than anybody, Richard, will know the effort that has been put into the numerous question and answer sessions, Zoom calls, webinars, bulletins, etc., as we've looked to meet the challenge head on and to keep in touch with and engage with the brethren during the suspension of activity. It's not rocket science. It's all about retaining enthusiasm, keeping people in touch with each other. As I say, the communication work, because it must be said that there are a lot of Freemasons who have simply put their cases in the wardrobe, hung their suits up, and waiting till this awful pandemic is all over. But I prefer to be a bit more, and we prefer to be a bit more engaging and try to retain the enthusiasm of our members. The last thing we want our members to think is that I've not missed Freemasonry, so why should I go back as and when lodge activity resumed? I think we've been successful retaining interest of a lot of our membership, but I do think there's others that have switched off. Challenge will be, how do we get those brethren back to lodge? How do we ensure that everybody comes back to lodge when they, and I stress when they, feel comfortable, not when anybody else feels comfortable, when they feel comfortable? That is why we've launched the Provincial Grandmaster launched the Back on the Square campaign with a direct challenge to engage with brethren to ensure that they don't feel forgotten, to make sure everybody knows about lots of the wonderful initiatives that have been in place since we've been in lockdown, and generally keeping in touch with each other and maintaining enthusiasm. It's not easy. So, we'd be lying if we said it was easy, but I'd like to think that we've had a modicum of success there. And I think I sense a growing enthusiasm to come back to lodge, I think is testament to the amount of hard work such as yourself, Richard, have put in place to keep in touch with people during lockdown.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the amount of work that quite a lot of people have been doing over the last few months, or certainly since March, has really paid off. And I would also point people in the direction of the local press. Never before have we had so many positive stories about Freemasonry, nationally as well as locally as well. I know we've had lots in the Leicester Mercury. We've been on Radio Leicester. I think that we've been doing all that we can to keep the message alive and keep that going across to people, either members, that we are doing things to help them, to help their local communities, and to also people that aren't members as well, to portray what Freemasonry is and what we can do for them. Which kind of leads me on to another question, really. So what do you think are the merits of seeking new members via different channels? I mean, we used to do it via word of mouth. So I know this guy, I think he'd make a great member. But what are the merits of seeking new members via like the internet and social media? What do you think of that?
I think word of mouth is still very important. In some cases, it's still the best way to recruit as well. I mean, there will always be an advantage to knowing someone and deciding based on your own understanding of Freemasonry that they are a suitable candidate. But also, we live in a very modern technological world, and the internet and social media reaches a much wider audience who they may not know, or at least may not realize that they know a Freemason, but nevertheless want to express an interest and find out more about our society and what we do and what have you. So social media and the internet are more and more at the fingertips of prospective candidates. In many cases, younger men with busy work lives who have different social circles. So an initial point of contact through a medium that they are very familiar with can only be a good thing. But as I say, I still think the word of mouth traditional approach is also of still great importance.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from my background and the role that I've got, I would say that we have a very proactive provincial website that we're pushing, we're changing, we're updating, not just for members, but also for general public as well. And certainly the social media side of things. You know, we've had and still have and continue to have people joining Freemasonry because of social media, where we haven't been advertising. We've just been communicating what we've been doing and what the benefits of membership would be. And, you know, hopefully in the future as well, we've been talking about it. I know, Dale, we've been talking about potentially advertising on social media as well, just explaining the benefits to people a little bit more and a little bit better and what Freemasonry can do for them. Now, we've a successful student contingent in Leicestershire and Rutland. We've got three universities lodges, and we've also got a university scheme chapter as well. What sort of message do we take to universities, perhaps, that's different to other people?
I think that Freemasonry is an opportunity to meet like-minded individuals who are getting involved in something new, something unique, that can make a lifelong positive impact to each of them. Their hometown might not be within our province, but the university scheme allows them the opportunity to develop their interest in Freemasonry, potentially with undergraduates on the same course or in the same uni, potentially even with staff from the same uni. I think it attracts students, staff from universities, alumni, perhaps graduates from other universities who've commenced careers within our province. So it's another route as such into recruitment within Freemasonry within our province. But it also, I think, serves to give that initial mutual stepping stone, if you like, that people from the same university may have.
And when we're looking for new members, I guess new members in general, it's not just university students, but what sort of person are we looking for?
I don't think we're looking for any particular type of person, to be honest with you, Richard. I mean, Freemasonry is not a one-size-fits-all pastime. We all know there is such a cross range of people from all different backgrounds, from all different societies, from all different beliefs within Freemasonry. So I don't think we are looking for... Well, I speak personally, I'm not looking for any one particular type of person. Different people get different things out of Freemasonry, and I think that's one of the attractions of Freemasonry. It's it doesn't mean the same thing to any two people. It's such a diverse nature. We have such a diverse cross-section of lodges. We have some, you know, special interest lodges. We have sports lodges. My own lodge was the province's first ever sports-based lodge. Which was founded by the amalgamation of two touring rugby teams. We have professional lodges, we have doctors' lodges, we have a military lodge, we have, obviously, we've had our rugby lodge, which is waiting to be consecrated. So I don't think we're looking for any specific type of person. And I would sincerely hope, and I would be very disappointed if anybody thought they were excluded from becoming a Freemason for being any specific type of person.
When we get the inquiries, how do we decide which lodge to place them in? I'm specifically talking inquiries, you know, over the internet or social media here. So probably a question for you, Mark. How do you decide where to place them?
Okay, well, I suppose a fairly obvious starting point is their location. Funnily enough, some of the expressions of interest that I've received both through the United Grand Lodge website and even a couple through the provincial website have been from people who either aren't in this province and in some cases are even abroad. Clearly, their location is a key element to where I might direct them. But for those that do fall within the province, I may look at whether they are looking to maybe start to attend a lodge leaving from work, or whether they'd be going home first and then going. So that will have some influence in where we start to look. Other factors are things like the days of the week that the lodge might meet that is a clear consideration. Some people might work in different parts of the country. Some people will work at home at different times of the week, but might be in London for the rest of the week. So again, it's finding a lodge that meets on a given night that is best suited for them. Mainly because it's important that not just new recruits, but all Masons, wherever possible, can regularly attend and enjoy the Freemasonry. So location and the time of meeting is important. University lodges, obviously, they will be directed to the relevant university for undergraduates and staff. There might be individual preferences that are voiced from the prospective candidate, if they're relevant, of course. And particular lodges, I mean, Dale's mentioned the special interest lodges. Their particular lodges may also have their own specific preferences if they're appropriate as well.
So once we've placed somebody in a lodge or they've joined a lodge, we have a mentoring process in place. So can you just tell me a little bit about this process that we have to ensure that new members are looked after, and what sort of person and what skills do they have or do they need to have to be a personal mentor?
Wow, what a good question. Well, first and foremost, I would say, well, I hope we have a mentoring process within the province. I'll be very disappointed if any lodges still don't have a mentoring process. And I think this was founded going back some time now, but it used to be a default setting. And first and foremost, historically, the mentor, albeit in an informal capacity, was your proposer and seconder. Certainly when I came into Masonry, my proposer, who is Worshipful Brother Robert Wood, was very much my mentor, and in a lot of ways he still is my mentor in Freemasonry. You know, we bounce ideas off each other all the time. So historically, it was your proposer or your seconder, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, with the mentoring scheme as divided, we're not looking to reinvent the wheel. In a lot of cases, maybe even go as far as to say the majority of cases, the best person to mentor a new Freemason is quite often the proposer and the seconder, because they know, in a lot of cases, they know the person, they know what makes him tick, they're more often than not, they're like-minded, and hopefully enthusiastic. So in a lot of occasions, it is still the proposer and or the seconder, which is chosen as the personal mentor. However, it's becoming more popular for somebody to join a lodge who perhaps doesn't know their proposer or seconder that well. And in those cases, then clearly their personal mentor is often someone not known to them, and is selected for them from the brethren of the lodge. And the criteria really is the same as a proposer and a seconder. You know, it's somebody who's like-minded, slightly more senior or not, but not always a lot senior. I think it's more important to be like-minded and to be able to get on with each other and have common interests as it is to be a font of all Masonic knowledge. I think it's all about suitability, about compatibility. And at the end of the day, we're here to enjoy this. You know, I think it's every now and again, we need to bring it back to the fact that this is a hobby. We do it for enjoyment. We need to be enjoying it. New members need to be enjoying their Freemasonry. Otherwise, they're not going to stay members for very long. So the key thing is to have somebody who's compatible, who enjoys each other's company, but most importantly, enthusiastic.
We are a membership organisation, and we're attracting members from within, people that we know, and internet, social media. How do you feel about advertising to attract new members?
It depends on where we advertise or promote membership. Clearly, I'm thinking not advertising in the traditional sense. You know, I mean, clearly we don't want a small ads in the local paper type thing. I mean, the Provincial Grandmaster has said we don't necessarily just want more men in Freemasonry, but he said we want more Freemasonry in men, and that's quite right. So it's important that any promotion or advertising is done appropriately, sensitively, proportionately. I mean, you've mentioned social media, but the positive press reports, I think, that have been more and more prevalent of late, potentially, well, clearly they are a form of advertising, but I do wonder also whether potentially they are prompting some of the queries that or expressions of interest that I get coming through the United Grand Lodge website, the provincial website. I mean, I'm discovering quite early on in the role that there are more and more inquiries about Freemasonry coming through. So advertising in the correct way, the most appropriate and proportionate way, yes. But I think that's probably my thoughts on it for now.
And if I may add, I think I completely agree with Mark 100%. I think one of our greatest attributes and one of our greatest advertising ploys, if you like, is the fantastic work that we've been doing and are continuing to do right up to the present day. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that the level of activity regarding joining our organisation has been heightened during the lockdown. And, you know, I can only put that down to people reading about the wonderful work that we have been doing, that the PPE that we've been manufacturing, the food parcels that we've been delivering, you know, all the things that go that we take for granted as being Freemasons is being picked up by people. And as I say, it's no coincidence that the more we can get the message out there, or the more our communications officer can get the message out there, the more inquiries we get in. So we're effectively, our work is our advertising. I agree with Mark 100%.
This podcast is another good way of doing it, because we've got a lot of followers and listeners, and not all of them are Freemasons. So what final message would you like to leave to anybody who's perhaps listening to this, who may be thinking about joining Freemasonry?
My message would be yourself, form your own opinions. Don't listen to any preconceived opinions from people who are frankly ignorant and don't know what they're talking about. But I think we've got to accept that Freemasonry is not for everybody. And as you know, and there will be people that look into Freemasonry and decide that it's not for them. And that's absolutely fine. But, you know, we are not looking to recruit the world. But be yourself. Make an honest decision. Ask. Get the information that you need, and then make your honest opinion. And if Freemasonry is not for you, then fine. The last thing we want to do is recruit gentlemen into our organisation, and then 2 years down the line, they find out that it is not for them, and they resign. You know, it's an eyes wide open thing. Make your own mind up. Get the information, and then decide if it's for you or if it's not.
Yeah, I agree. And make contact through the website. If you don't have someone that you can speak to about Freemasonry, do a bit of research, look through the provincial website. If you can speak to a Freemason, do so. There are plenty of experienced Freemasons in every province who can give you information about what we do, who we are, and importantly, what we're about. Contact me as the provincial membership officer, or even make contact with a local lodge if you know who they are. There's no reason why you couldn't make inquiries there. And I'd also say the same applies to existing Freemasons who might be new to the province. I mean, I came into this province 20 years ago. You want to continue your Freemasonry, make inquiries either at the province level or at a local lodge level, so you can carry on your Freemasonry. And similarly for those who are Freemasons but might not have been active for some time, just make contact in the usual way.
And that's great advice for anybody. We are a membership organisation, and membership is key to us, not only recruiting, but also retention as well. So I've got to leave it there, though, because our time is upon us. I need to thank you both very much. It's been really enjoyable to get your insights into membership and mentoring and recruitment. So thanks again for your time, and hopefully we'll get you back on here at some point very soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Nice to talk to you.